This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here until a question starts.
Well, big political story of the week is healthcare still. Last Saturday, in a rare Saturday late night vote, the House, by a vote of 220 to 215, passed the Nancy Pelosi health care bill. It's moving on to the Senate, where it's likely considered to be dead on arrival. They'll probably come up with a version of their own. John, you said last week that you didn't think this would pass the House. Why did it?
Well, it passed because of a lot of pressure from Speaker Pelosi and because there were just enough Democrats who were able to shut the door on the party's pro-abortion stand to accept the amendment by Congressman Bart Stupak barring funds for abortions and pass it by two votes. Interesting point. There was one Republican vote, Joseph Cow of Louisiana, who represents a district that is majority African American, and I believe he is the congressman with the most constituents on food stamps. That said, an argument could be made he had to vote his constituency. However, had the two special elections in New York gone to Republicans this year, Cow has signaled that he would not have been the deciding vote to cast it. So again, this is a case of like the bank shot in pool, the Hail Mary pass in football, a freakish passage. It has now gone on to the Senate. The pro-choice element of the Democratic Party is not happy with the package. And my guess is, given the rules of the Senate, as well as the animosity of a significant portion of who funds the Democratic Party, I say it'll be stopped in the Senate finally. And again, former President Clinton told senators yesterday, just pass anything. For committed liberals on the Democratic side who have been working for national health insurance since the days of Harry Truman, anything won't be good enough.
John, I was speaking with Iowa Congressman Steve King earlier in the week, and he said Republicans are actually caught off guard by Nancy Pelosi allowing the vote on the pro-life amendment, and he says they didn't respond right to that. Yes, they would prefer to have the pro-life language in there if it's going to pass, but he says the bigger picture is they should have voted against it. Then Pelosi wouldn't have had the votes to pass the bill, and it would have been dead right there. Did he have it right?
Probably. Look, anything to stop this bill would have been a defeat for the administration, and finally ended, for this year at least, debate on some form of public option in health care. And if that took a tactic of voting to keep a vote up or down on this measure off the House floor, so be it. I think Congressman King has it right.
John, obviously the other big issue this week is Afghanistan. The president, we're hearing reports now, has rejected all four proposals given to him, telling his advisors and military leaders to go back to the drawing board. There's already, of course, a drumbeat of pressure on the president to get this policy in place soon before it's too late. What's the impact of what appears to be another delay of some sort?
Well, I think the delay has to be related to the fact that the president is between the proverbial rock and hard place. On the one hand, he's made a very firm commitment to Afghanistan, and the policy of increased troops has been recommended by his general, General McChrystal, and by his ambassador, Ambassador Eikenberry. That said, just as members of Congress have to deal with some powerful factions within the Democratic Party, the president has to deal with the anti-war element that was pivotal to his nomination. If he were to announce tomorrow 40 or 45,000, depending on who you believe, troops were going to Afghanistan to rout out al-Qaeda, then he would have to explain this to the element that was key to his election. I would also say that President Obama has to deal with another issue out there, and that is getting an exit strategy. I have always hated the term. I never liked it in Iraq. I didn't like it in Vietnam. But nonetheless, if you are dealing with this kind of element within your political supporters, you've got to have it. And that's where the delay boils down to.
We're talking with John Gizzi of Human Events. And John, on the political side this week, we saw a relatively surprising announcement. CNN's Lou Dobbs, longtime anchor there, one of their business experts, has hosted a show for many, many years, saying that yesterday was his final show and he's going on to figure out a bigger and better way to improve the country. Kind of cryptic. He says there's a lot of different options he's exploring and he hasn't decided yet. A lot of rumors, though, that he might be entering the political arena.
Well, I think that those rumors are natural. Not since Walter Winchell has there been an on-air commentator who has stirred so much political sentiment. I mean, Rush Limbaugh certainly does, but not to the degree of creating the incendiary feelings that Lou Dobbs does, whether he gives credibility to the birther movement, questioning Barack Obama being a natural-born citizen, or, of course, his favorite topic, illegal immigrants. The joke is that if the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim were to buy the New York Times, Lou would lead a charge against the entire newsroom there. Lou Dobbs certainly has a following. He is a resident of New Jersey. There is no Senate race up in 2010, but it wouldn't surprise me, based on his statement, if he makes a run for the U.S. House.
Very interesting. John, we mentioned Afghanistan, and of course, the president speaking this week at Fort Hood, remembering the soldiers killed there by the Islamic terrorists last week, and then, of course, comments at Arlington National Cemetery on Wednesday. Your thoughts on this Veterans Day, as we're now 91 years since the close of World War One, and, of course, Armistice Day is the original commemoration on November 11th and eventually became Veterans Day.
Well, certainly all of us hate war, and yet war sometimes is a necessity. There are things worse than war, like being enslaved, like living in the darkness that certainly was the old Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, and that it today is many parts of the world. You know, democracy has taken on, and every year more people choose their leaders by the ballot box rather than by bullets. And yet a lot of people don't have that opportunity. We remember those who gave their lives so that others would be able to choose freedom and to have a better life. And certainly this is reported in many ways. In France recently, President Nicolas Sarkozy welcomed Chancellor Angela Merkel, and the two held hands at the Arc de Triomphe, commemorating the end of the First World War, when Germany and France were blood enemies. In two wars, they went at it with everything they had, and today they're among the closest allies, in a sense the hub of the European community and both friends of the United States. That's a sense of progress, and that's a sign that Americans coming over, just as Lafayette came to this country, and helping free Europe in two different crises when the lights went out, is a sign that they did not die in vain.
John, very quickly, one of the reasons that Merkel and Sarkozy were together this week was to commemorate 20 years since the Berlin Wall came down. It doesn't seem that long ago to me, probably doesn't to you either, but your thoughts on the significance of that anniversary?
Well, again, this is extremely important. When we were kids, Greg, we referred to West Germany and East Germany, and we heard about the American sector and the Russian sector in the divided city of Berlin. All of that is in the history books now, and Chancellor Merkel is the third chancellor in 20 years to be leading a united Germany, not a West Germany. And I think it's very poignant since you mentioned her. She is an East German, the first to lead the United Germany. She grew up in communism, the daughter of a Lutheran minister, and yet a strong believer in God. She could tell you about the day the wall went down, as she did in her remarks there. And today, she knows freedom, lives it, exercises it. I think just looking at her and her life story speaks for the modern Germany, and it's a pretty nice story.
John, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks, as always, for your time.
With a lot on my plate on Capitol Hill and beyond, I'm John Gizzi, and saying to all, Happy Veterans Day, and to people like my father who served in the Marine Corps last week, happy birthday.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.